This is our number
10. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
That's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So a lot of people are asking. I'm getting a lot of text messages. So the Seattle police are charging the guy who tried to throw the woman off the overpass with attempted assault.
Yes, it is not police who would do the charging.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
But yes, it's attempted assault is the charge.
How is it not attempted murder? If you try to throw a woman off an overpass, rush hour traffic 40 feet above the freeway, how in the world is that not attempted murder?
That's a good question. And I'm wondering if it's something that could be amended after they get more details or more evidence or something that's more provable. But, yeah. Well,
the fact that they've let this guy go three times after previous assaults, including punching a woman, punching random women in the face downtown, and they say that the reason they couldn't charge him in those previous three assaults is they feared that they couldn't convict him because of his mental health status. So they just keep releasing a crazy man back out on the street.
And the other question is, how does that keep happening? Why does he, knowing that he is homeless, he keeps going back out on the street, he doesn't get treatment, so what's to stop him?
We need more involuntary holds on the crazy people, but we've got priorities that are so out of whack. And yeah, I'm hearing that from the 425. The man who tried to push the woman off the bridge is now being charged with attempted assault. How is that not attempted murder? 360, same thing. He wasn't hitting her. He was trying to throw her off a bridge.
You know, that's such a great question. We're going to pose that to the prosecutor's office. So we'll ask our one of our reporters to check on that.
Was this being handled by Seattle or King County prosecutor? Do we know?
I believe it's King County, but let me check.
His previous ones were Seattle prosecutor, I know. But, yeah, we got to find that out. But I want to get them on and see if they can explain to us. In fact, will you see if they'll come on with us at 2, Nicole?
Yeah, I can tell you right now they won't. I've asked many times, but I will try. It's ridiculous that they won't.
It is the county. King County prosecutors.
Okay.
I will definitely try.
How in the world is it not attempted murder when you try to throw a woman off an overpass from 40 feet? This is insane. And they have to keep this guy locked up. They keep playing catch and release with him. Four times now, since September, he's been arrested for assaulting random women on the streets. And it's just absolute pure insanity that we don't have this guy at least facing attempted murder charges. But we must start locking people up. And we're going to have a family killed, and we're going to see some gigantic, or a person killed, and families are going to have gigantic lawsuits against the taxpayers because we are not doing our job in locking up such dangerous people. So the beat goes on around here. We'll try to get some answers for you, but I appreciate all the people. We're getting tons of text messages. You can text us always at 98973. That's 98973. But we'll try to get answers why this is not attempted murder. But if they couldn't go to trial with this guy because of his mental health with all the previous assaults, maybe they're already thinking they're not going to be able to here. So maybe he'll be back on the streets in no time. That's been the history with this guy. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. Speaking of your tax dollars at work, let me tell you about a school teacher here in Washington. A middle school teacher has settled her sexual orientation discrimination lawsuit against the Squim School District. Autumn St. George filed a federal suit against the Squim School District. She said that someone inserted a personnel document in her file accusing her of pedophilic behavior and that she suffered harassment in 2015, including lewd remarks and bullying and intimidating by staff members. Here's the part that's infuriating. Because I don't know what happened. I don't know who's to blame and to what extent. But the district and attorneys for both sides say that they have settled with her. And the terms of the settlement, including monetary damages, will not be made public under a non-disclosure agreement. So you can just give away tax dollars to somebody who's accused of pedophilic behavior. The person presumably is still teaching. And you can't tell us, you've signed an agreement, a public school district, government-run schools, and you're telling us you cannot disclose how much of our money you gave to this teacher. And then the other terms of the agreement, we don't know to what extent the charges against her or the accusations against her were found to be true. We don't know what's happened to the school district employees who did the supposedly offending behavior. They, I guess, are keeping their job. She keeps her job. And we just give her a bunch of money. And we have no idea how much. I'll tell you right now, non-disclosure agreements involving government employees and government entities should not be allowed. We should have full disclosure on stuff like that. Next in the Fastest 15. So we're now seeing how much the text messages that the National Enquirer got from Lauren Sanchez's brother, how much they paid for them. And this is shocking to me.
It is shocking.
So Lauren Sanchez, Jeff Bezos' mistress, her brother had these creepy text messages and sexting photos, and we still don't know why she shared them with her brother.
How did he get them?
I don't know.
I mean, as close as I was to my brothers, I know for a fact that they wouldn't be sharing that kind of stuff with me, and I wouldn't be with them.
No.
Certainly if it's not going to really hurt and damage someone I am supposed to be in love with.
It's just the whole thing's so creepy that she shared pictures of Jeff Bezos' junk with her brother. She shares all of the text messages of them flirting back and forth with her brother. And now we're being told by USA Today that Lauren Sanchez's brother was paid $200,000 to leak the couple's texts and photos to the National Enquirer. Doesn't that sound cheap?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to...
I mean, the whole thing is cheap, obviously.
The whole thing's
tawdry. But if you're going to... Yeah, exactly. But if you were going to be doing that and risking relationship with your sister, potentially your future whatever in-law...
And
for $200,000?
Yeah. I mean, that's at least a $5 million bundle of sexts. And...
Yeah, because certainly the Enquirer got a heck of a lot more out of that.
Yeah. So the brother...
So does he despise his sister?
Well, I'm guessing that she's not crazy about him right now.
Well, now, but she
Before
showed him
that.
Well, she must have sent him the screenshot somehow, or I mean, she was around him.
Yeah. And again, if I'm Jeff Bezos, I'm going to run, not walk, away from her and her family.
Yeah, has anyone found out? Are they still dating?
How stupid.
I don't know.
To continue dating somebody who's put Jeff Bezos, because, you know, from what I've heard about vast wealth, he could get almost any woman he wants. So why would you go with somebody who betrays you and who's... You know, exhibited such horrible judgment, and her family is a train wreck. That's just... Jeff, get out of it, man. I'm talking to you brother to brother. I told you that you shouldn't go to New York City because of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and you didn't listen to me, and you ended up spending tens of millions of dollars that you didn't need to. Now, I'm telling you again, get out of this Lauren Sanchez relationship. Go find yourself a nice girl who doesn't send pictures of you naked to her brother. Solid advice. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. So I've got more Jay Inslee on The Daily Show, because when I think good, solid comedy, I think Jay Inslee. So Trevor Noah asked him, is it risky being a one-issue candidate? All he's talking about is climate change.
Why would you risk it all on climate change?
Because you can't solve other problems unless you solve climate change. And I've believed this for a long time. I co-authored a book about it 11 years ago. I've started the U.S. Climate Alliance. Look, if you'd been at Paradise, California with me a few months ago and you saw a town with 25,000 people rendered burnt right down to the foundations and nobody there, it looked like a Hollywood apocalypse. movie, and that is a foretaste to what we're looking at.
Boy, this is good comedy that The Daily Show was running last night. Again, the fire in California where Jay Inslee was, it was started by the power companies, power lines that clicked together, started the fire. Santa Ana winds, which have been blowing as long as there's been Southern California, Santa Ana winds fueled the fire. And Jay Inslee, we talked to John Cobalt of KFI just a few days ago, and he said that Jay Inslee looked and sounded ridiculous at the sight of that wildfire.
So what we know is this is a matter of urgent peril, but it is also a matter of great promise, great economic promise. So we need someone who will really rally the American people, and I have tremendous faith in Americans' ability to innovate.
Mm-hmm. Boy, has The Daily Show ever been funnier than it was with Inslee last night? Why did they think this was a good idea? So Inslee explained that he is the man. Now listen to all the old saws that he pulled out, because he's, over the last several months, he's tried to become kind of a down-home folksy. He's got the same old sayings, and he was trotting them all out last night.
I've been a governor. I understand, unlike some others, to govern is to choose. And yes, I have chosen that as the priority, because it is the existential threat. And we can't solve our other problems unless we solve that. That's number one. Number two.
They always call it an existential threat. That's the phrase they use. That's a superfluous word. It's a threat. But they always say, they've become trained, that you sound smarter, I guess, if you say existential threat.
Look, I've been at this for 20 years. I campaigned in 92 on this issue. I co-authored a book on this.
He keeps mentioning that book. That book that sold something like 14 copies.
Started the Apollo Project legislation back in, I don't know, the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. So this is something that I've been both passionate and effective about. And the third thing is, the governor, we're moving the needle in Washington State. Look, we're building a huge wind turbine industry. It's a $6 billion industry. We now have legislation here that I hope...
By the way, an industry that is fiscally absolutely impossible. For the amount of output we're getting for $6 billion, it's a tiny fraction of our state's energy grid, and it would cost hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's unreliable because the wind is not constant enough anywhere in Washington. There are some places, like you've gone to Palm Springs, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever driven from Ontario to Palm Springs?
Sure.
And they've got those wind farms there. And it's that's a place where the wind is somewhat constant, and it provides more of the total energy there than it ever can here in Washington.
Or even driving over to eastern Washington, you see some.
Yeah, yeah. But it's simply, I mean, Forbes did a big piece about how wind power is absolutely impossible to be a significant issue. And again, we've got the greenest, most efficient energy of any state in the country with our hydroelectric. And if you've ever been to, you know, I used to have a little place in Douglas County right across the river from Chelan, and power is so cheap when you're around the Columbia River and we're selling our hydroelectric energy to California at inflated prices, and then we're going to charge the people of this state a ridiculous amount of money for solar and wind, which is just not viable here. It's insane what he's pitching.
We're going to guarantee Washingtonians 100% clean electrical grid.
Right.
We're doing the things in Washington. So both by passion, commitment, prioritization, and experience, I think that's what we need. And I think it'd be great to have someone who believes in science and gravity in the White House. I think that would be great.
Oh, the crowd loved that one. He took a shot at Trump, you say? That's awesome. Let's see. Trevor Noah came back at him about, you know, Bill Gates even says you can't get by with wind and solar.
We're going to need multiple technologies. But I do believe we have to have a much more robust research and development program, because we are going to need some additional technologies.
Right.
And listen, this is the difference between me and Donald Trump. He is a pessimistic, fearful, insecure person. I am a confident, optimistic person who believes that America, who put a man on the moon, who defeated fascism, sure as heck can build a clean energy economy. That's who we are as Americans, and I fundamentally believe that.
Do you think you could stop crazy people from trying to throw women off overpasses here in our state? I mean, if you want to get stuff done, why don't we? That's an existential threat right now. Crazy people are trying to throw women off overpasses, but can't do anything about that. It's just, it's so bizarre to listen to him do this barnstorming tour. And
did you hear David Ferenthal this morning, Seattle's Morning News? He's the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist for Washington Post. He was saying that he was surprised that Jay Inslee, his quote was, "Jay Inslee has surprised me, the reception he's getting as he's campaigning." He said Howard Schultz is not doing well, but he actually said Jay Inslee is making a teeny tiny bit of traction.
Yeah, we'll see when some more polling comes out, because he's still at 1% in the latest polls, even with all the attention he's getting. But no, I know the left loves Inslee. They love him because they can't get enough of this whole climate change storyline. So he's, by running on that one topic, and people know what he's all about, apparently. So we'll see if Inslee can make any headway with this.
Just really quick, I'm going to work on this. But he pulls out a lot of the same lines, and I just got a couple examples that I put together really quick.
I got to tell you, these people couldn't run a two-car funeral.
And then they're so incompetent, they couldn't run a two-car funeral. I mean, they really can't run a two-car funeral when it comes right down to it.
And then there's this one.
They can't build a birdhouse in Washington, D.C.
I'm not done with that one. Here's this one.
I remember when John F. Kennedy said we're going to the moon in 10 years and bring somebody back, and we went. I am a confident, optimistic person who believes that America, who put a man on the moon.
We went to the moon and created technologies that have changed the world.
So anyway, that's just a little preview of what I'm putting together.
Yeah, he's just got a few lines. And
it doesn't matter which question he's asked. He works those into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, the two-car funeral one. That's hilarious. Whoever wrote that one for him should get a big raise. All that is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast stories, fastest 15.
If you give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Hey, it's Tuesday afternoon. That means our buddy Dave Wyman's going to drop by for a visit. Up next on the Dory Monson Show.
Wow, was that you, Dory?
It was me.
I just saw Billy Madison.
Good.
You know who was watching it? It was a total shock. My wife.
Really?
Yes, because I know she thinks those kind of movies are stupid.
Yeah.
And so there was Happy Gilmore first,
right?
And then with the Bob Barker, who I think lives up here.
Bob Barker? No, he doesn't live up here.
Or he was born up here?
That's possible.
Text it in to the Online Trading Academy text line. That is what? 978-978, something like that?
9-8-97-3.
9-8-97-3.
Nicole, will you find out if Bob Barker was born up here?
Sure.
I remember it was a big deal when I was a little kid that Bob Barker would do occasionally Truth or Consequences.
Darrington. Yes!
What?
Dave is right!
Where?
He was born in Darrington.
Darrington!
In your face, Monson.
I've...
Score me one.
No!
I get one for
still
that.
Still 1-0.
One for Dave.
But he would occasionally do Truth or Consequences live from the Seattle Center Arena, the little arena there. Not Key Arena now. And it was a big deal when he would take Truth or Consequences, the game show he hosted, to town. So...
Yeah.
He was in the Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, he whooped his butt. He whooped Happy Gilmore's butt.
I'm not a big Adam Sandler movie fan.
Yeah.
But he did a stand-up thing that's on Netflix right now, and he's got this song. We can't play it on the air, but he's got a song about how you always have to have your keys, your phone, your wallet when you leave your house. And it is so funny. I was watching it with my girls, and we were just howling. Okay, speaking of commercials, so the NCAA tournament.
I add one thing to that, by the way.
Hmm.
Chapstick. Keys, wallet. I always have four, like two in the front, two in the back. Just pat myself down. Okay, I'm good to go.
The NCAA tournament starts on Thursday. I guess technically it starts tonight with those two play-in games tonight, two tomorrow.
Does that mean, so you can still fill out your bracket now? Right?
Yes. In fact, I'm in trouble because my family bracket, there are six of us in it, and I'm the only one who's not yet submitted my bracket. Mm-hmm. But I think you technically can do it up till Thursday after the play-in games.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know who you should – who's a good – I think a good 12-5? Hmm. Oregon. We just talked to Mike Hopkins. You can hear it live on Danny, Dave, and Moore at 3 o'clock. I don't know when we're playing it. He said – he was talking about
how can we hear it live if you've taped it?
Well – you can hear it on our show.
Oh, okay.
As if it were live. You don't need to pull back the curtain on it, although I just did. Yeah, and he was talking about how Oregon causes lots of problems. So that's a popular one. 12-5 hasn't been successful lately.
Well, take a look at that.
Yeah. Oregon has lots of problems they present defensively.
Did you see the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial? It's an online commercial that they did for the tournament.
I've seen a number of them.
I thought this one, it's a little racy. But because, as you know, a lot of guys, and this is true, they get vasectomies on the Wednesday before the tournament starts, and then they can just sit and watch 16 games on Thursday, 16 games on Friday.
With a bag of frozen peas on their lap.
Well, and guilt-free, because usually you've gotten the vasectomy at your wife's behest. And so she can't complain about you just sitting and watching games all day during the tournament. So I thought this commercial they put together for that, for an online version of the commercial, I thought it was kind of clever.
The net isn't the only thing getting cut this March. Everyone and their mothers is getting a vasectomy for the tournament.
Vasectomy!
And if you snipped your vas deferens, whatever the f*** that is, just so you could binge watch the tourney, we made a stool for you. Come sit on the jewel stool. Strapped with a jeweler cooler, it'll chill both your jewels and your beer. Put it to the test and come hang this March at Buffalo Wild Wings. Have a ball, get nuts, go Nads.
Vasectomy.
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 Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
I'm a fake doctor, and even I think this is a terrible idea.
That was kind of cute.
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good.
So you did talk to Husky coach Mike Hopkins,
mm-hmm.
and he's done an incredible job. I'm really thrilled that they're back in the tourney finally.
Yeah, it's, you know, we talked about Matisse Thybulle quite a bit too, and he's just talking about what a just beautiful, wonderful kid he is in every way. So, and there's a letter on his desk. It's a card from, I think, Thybulle's dad, you know, saying, "Hey, I'm turning my son over to you." It was one of those moments he called a brain tattoo that he'll never forget it. But yeah, I mean, I love watching Matisse Thybulle. The kid plays defense. You know, he's got blocks, steals. He's just all over the place. They're a fun team to watch. It's just that, and I asked him about the power outages against Oregon, and he just said, you know, they play a matchup zone, and it was really tough to predict, and, you know, that they were just a bad matchup for him. So hopefully they do better than they did in that last game, because that was pretty disappointing.
Yeah. Then if they win the first one, they got to play North Carolina.
They do.
In the second round. That's, yeah. That's a tough mountain to climb.
Well, I think a lot of people are picking Utah State. I believe Utah State's favored.
Are they? Okay, against the Huskies.
Yeah, I think they're 26-8, and they're 28-6.
I heard they're the hottest team of all going into the tournament.
Yeah.
So, okay. Did you see Russell Wilson on Jimmy Fallon's show?
I did.
What'd you think?
I thought he did a great job. I really liked the way he handled it, everything, you know? So people were, and I was doing this on our show yesterday. I was like, you know, last year my theme was help Russell.
Yes.
You know, because he didn't have any help from anywhere. This year it's leave Russell alone. He's fine. Okay? Leave him alone. Because everybody's like, oh, what's he doing with that jacket with all the zippers? And why does he have all those chains around his neck? I'm like, come on, man. This kid's, he's perfect in every way, pretty much. I mean, you know, everybody's worried that, oh, you know, the stuff online, maybe, you know, going on Facebook and professing his love to Ciara is a little hokey. You know, it's not my style, but still, it's not like he's out there committing crimes. And, you know, it's just somebody texted in and goes, it's not like he's out getting neck tattoos and starting fights at strip clubs.
Right. Yeah.
OK, so I'll take that. And if he has a few too many zippers on his jacket, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you see him throwing footballs at the objects?
No.
Yeah, Fallon was throwing, like, he threw a Jell-O mold out there with a big Jell-O milkshake. He threw a cake, and then Russell was throwing footballs
like
at him.
Skeet shooting?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I missed that part. He did say that he was asked if he's going to become the richest player in NFL history with his next contract.
There's a possibility that you will be the highest paid quarterback in the history of the league.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a great potential of that. We'll see what happens.
Well, how does that make you feel good? I mean, is that cool?
Well, you know, it's not.
What a dumb question. Jimmy Fallon, I thought, just came across. He's a horrible interviewer.
You think so?
Does that make you feel good?
Yeah, but it got a good response.
It's like it made me feel bad.
Yeah. But I mean, to think about, you know, Russell Wilson growing up and I don't know.
Well, I think, you know, being a kid, African-American kid, 5'11", coming from Richmond, Virginia, went to a private school. Everybody said I wouldn't make it playing Division I A. And then getting to where I am now and just finishing year 7 and, you know, going into year 8, and I believe I have 10 to 15 more years left. You know, it's a blessing.
Yeah, and he talks about his faith all the time. So yeah, you know, compared to the misdeeds of an awful lot of people, it seems a little picky to be attacking this guy.
No, I know. And everybody's like, oh, he's fake and, you know, all this. You know, he's not a good dancer. I'm like, what are you complaining about? Do you remember when we had Interception Jesus?
Right.
I mean, Charlie Whitehurst, they paid him like $5 million.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm fine with everything that he's doing. I know, like I said, it's a little, you know, it's not my style.
Right.
Some of the stuff he does. In the world. You getting soft on me, Sean?
I just shamed him for his music, and now he's doing this.
Vittori, you are getting soft.
That's okay. I'm a man. Men are soft, and men are hard.
I already know
hard.
All right, I want you to stop there. This is like
Backstreet
Boys.
Boom. Thanks, Nicole, for shaming me.
2-0.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler and the Backstreet Boys.
Seriously.
That's what you need.
Fire.
That's a slump buster if I've ever heard one.
Dave Wyman is with us. The richest contract in sports history is about to be signed. We'll talk about that and lots more as we continue our chat with Dave here on the Dory Monson Show. Joe Jackson.
No, he's stepping out right now.
Yeah. Elvis Costello.
Boom, the other Elvis.
Wow.
3-0. Finally.
You know what we need is more Blue Oyster Cult.
I'm climbing back
aboard.
It's
the only one I can get.
The old winning train here. Dave Wyman is with us. Bitterly, both of us, I think. It's fair to say bitterly disappointed right now.
About?
The call I just made.
Oh, yeah.
Dave and I decided during the first segment that we were going to go bowling tonight, and I just called Kenmore Lanes, and they're jam-packed with leagues.
How about that?
Till 10 p.m. tonight.
You want to go to the disco place where it's like 30 bucks a game?
No, I don't like the trendy places. I like Kenmore Lanes where they have the gigantic beer bottle caps on the wall.
I love that. And I think, do they have one of those old, do you remember those... like it was an Olympia beer thing that would like move and roll around. It was like on a roll. And there was a bear.
Yes.
Or that was the Hams guy.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah. The Hams beer bear.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we're not going to bowl tonight.
Well, we'll get it done.
Okay. Want to play some pickleball?
No.
Okay. I have a pickleball story in the news today.
Super.
Dave and I, starting last summer, we started playing pickleball once a week at my house.
That happened for 2 weeks, I think. We started playing every week for 2 weeks.
A domestic dispute over pickleball turned violent and resulted in the arrest of a 61-year-old Florida woman for allegedly pummeling her husband in the couple's residence at the Village's retirement community.
Over a pickleball game.
Yeah. The call came at 1:45 a.m. Monday. The 61-year-old woman lives with her 67-year-old husband, and according to the police report, they got in a verbal altercation regarding a pickleball clinic that was being offered in the Villages. After exchanging words, the woman struck the man in the face with a closed fist.
Wow.
He also alleged that when the argument sparked up again after an hour, she punched him in the face, shoved him, and struck his foot with a small metal easel. Mm.
When I was 15 and my older brother was 17, we were working at my dad's sawmill. Mm-hmm. We got in a fight over Captain Crunch.
What have you wanted, Crunch Berries?
It was something about how he thought I ate all the Captain Crunch, but there was other things, obviously. But when we had this guy that was running the sawmill, and he had felt like he had to fill out a report, and so on the report was Captain Crunch.
I haven't had Captain Crunch in ages. That stuff's delicious.
It hurts the roof of your mouth, though.
Yeah, it does. If you have open sores on the roof of your mouth, you don't want to eat the Captain Crunch.
Yeah. Wow. Why?
I don't know. Mike Trout of the Los Angeles Angels, they are finalizing the largest contract in professional sports history, a 12-year deal worth $430 million, and it's all guaranteed.
Jeez. That is, it's just unbelievable, the amount of money that's flying around. And then, you know, Fallon asked Russell Wilson, you know, you're going to be the rich. Yeah, he will be, because it's not going to last,
right?
Because the next guy, it's just going to keep going up more and more and more. But yeah, I mean, it's just it's amazing to me.
$430 million.
Yeah, it's like $36 million a year. Oh, this is
Blue Oyster Cult.
No.
Nah, it's like one of the old Beatles.
One of the old Beatles. Not one of the dead
George
Beatles.
George Harrison?
No.
I don't know.
I'm digging deep, Nicole, aren't I?
Do you know this one, Nicole?
I do not.
Yeah. I got nothing.
I'm stumped.
I have a backup. This is Crowded House.
Never heard of them.
Well, I get, you win anyway, though, Dory.
Yeah, I know.
So we don't need a backup.
No.
You win.
Do you want to play the backup anyway?
Yeah, it's great.
Just so we can finish on a high note?
Oh, this
Janet
is
Jackson
this
or
is America.
America.
America. Dave got it first.
Ah!
Janet Jackson.
Yeah, she has a song that starts with this little snippet. Yeah. She sampled from America. Okay, Dave got a point. And you can listen to Dave every afternoon, 3 to 7. Danny, Dave, and Moore, 710 ESPN Seattle. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
And we've got the big lead at 2 coming up next.